Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before the people of God as we study the word on tonight. Tonight is a disturbing night in our history where democracy as we know it has tried to be taken away from Americans. But one thing I know for sure, that God is in control. And God will see us through. We have to keep our hand in God's hand and look to him because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I thank God for being God and being in control. So our lesson tonight is God's grace is sufficient. And tonight we're coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 10. And again, because it's so true and real, God's grace is sufficient. At this time, we'll have a song, and tonight we have someone that's going to do a song for us. Receive her as she comes. And when the song is finished, we'll go to the throne of grace, and then we'll do the lesson. Sister Almeida. I turn everything over to you, darling.
Okay. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so, but he looked beyond all of my faults, and he saw my need, and I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view falling for. Jesus' love beyond every one of my faults, and he saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the Jesus died for you and me. I'm overcome. That my falling soul. He looked beyond every one of our faults, and he saw my need. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much. God's grace is truly amazing. At this time, we're going to go to the throne of grace, and our prayer warrior, our intercessor, is on the line. And Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. The prayer list is a little short tonight, but that doesn't mean I don't want you to stop praying for everybody. Jacqueline Nicholas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Beverly Ferguson, Florida Kanger, the Moses and Mitchell family, the Bridges family, and Jerome Carter. We're giving glory and honor to the Holy Trinity, to you, Minister Diane, and to you all, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Father God, I thank you tonight for life. Thanking you, Father God, for bringing us over into a new year. Please, Father God, I ask that you keep us clothed in our right minds and keep our minds staying on Jesus. Father God, we come on this first Wednesday night in a new year, lifting up each and every name that was called on tonight from our prayer list. Father God, you know all of their needs. You know the desires of their hearts, because we all belong to you. You made us, and you know all about us. Father God, I know that if it is your will, that every need be supplied. Father God, right now we all are standing in the need of prayer. Some of us need you for one thing. Some of us need you for something else. Father God, you are a way maker. Father God, you are our miracle worker. Father God, you are our promise keeper. Father God, you are our light in the darkness. Lord, we just want to praise you. We just want to lift you up and magnify your name. Father God, we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. In the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, amen, and thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Pamela Wynn.
You're welcome.
And at this time, I think it's so necessary and needed for us to pray for our nation. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, to give up every perfect gift, the God who sets high and looks low, the God who answers all our needs and hears our cries. Lord, I'm coming to you tonight because there's trouble in the land. democracy as we know it is trying to be taken by lies and alibis and foolishness, dear God. Lord, one of the biggest problems that's going on is pride and power. God, the Bible says that there's always destruction with pride, and all power belongs to you. But Lord, we're asking that you just settle the situation, dear God, and let the country move forward in justice, in fairness. Lord, there's no big eyes and no little U's. And Lord, we need you more than we ever needed you before. Lord, I'm asking that you hold on to us, dear God, and let everything be made right. Lord, we have prayed to you and called on your name, and Lord, you've seen to it at this time that you have all power in your hands. Lord, we pray to you for a new president, and because of your grace, it happened. Lord, and then we needed two representatives of democraticness in the Senate, dear God. And on today, you let that happen. God, we realize that the mighty hand of God is working all things out for our good. And it's because of your grace we are where we are tonight. It's the grace of God, dear God, that helps us and guides us and protects us and holds us near and dear. God, we need you so much. We can't make it without you, dear God. Please help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and thank God. Could y'all hold on? I have an emergency call. You guys so much for holding on. Life happens. There's nothing you could do about it. And even though the situation that has just come up with me, one thing that I'm sure that God's grace is sufficient. So our title tonight is God's Grace is Sufficient. We're coming from 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 10. So as always, I do a little background. Please pray for me, y'all. I do a background, and since the subject was grace, was on grace, my background is, you may ask the question, what is grace? Or you may not truly understand its meaning. You know, because there's so many things in the Word of God that we say over and over, but we don't take time to really understand what it is or think of everything that it details and what it really means for us and why it's given to us. So right now, I want us to take just a closer look. You see, it's important to know what grace is and to constantly seek to get a better view of what grace does. You know, we have to understand grace and understand what grace does in our lives. You see, the Holy Ghost is a part of God's grace, and we know he leads and guides us. Jesus was the fundamental things of God's grace, and we know he saved him. So when we talk about this word grace, it is just so important for us as believers. You see, the gospel message is the good news of God's grace. Grace is an essential part of God's character. Grace is closely related to God's benevolent love and mercy. Grace is God's favor towards the unworthy, or God's benevolence on the undeserving. You see, in his grace, God is willing to forgive us and to bless us abundantly in spite of the fact that we don't deserve to be treated so well or dealt with so generously. One of the main epitome of God's grace is John 3:16. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's grace, y'all. To fully understand grace, we need to consider who we are without God's grace and who we have become with the grace. You see, we was born in sin, and we were guilty of breaking God's holy law. We were enemies of God, deserving. We were unrighteous and without means of justifying ourselves or have the ability to save ourselves. We couldn't do it, y'all. That's why Jesus died. That's why we needed a Savior. And Jesus, God allowing his son to come, it's grace. You see, spiritually, we was destitute, lying, unclean, and dead. Our souls were being held hostage and headed for eternal damnation. That's a fact, y'all. When Adam and Eve sinned and sin entered the world, it gave Adam a sin nature. And then everyone born, even those born today, take on the image of Adam's sin nature. So we born with a sin nature. And sin is what brought in death. So because of the sin nature we received from Adam, and as I said earlier, we couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't be good enough to save ourselves. God sent his son. Come on, y'all. And provided a way for us to have eternal life. But again, I say we could never do this on our own. So what happened? Oh, but God. God extended his favor to us. Grace is what saves us. Hallelujah. It's all God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. That's what grace is about, y'all. Grace is an unmerited gift. You didn't do or be good enough to receive grace. Grace was bestowed upon you by what God had done, and you accepted his son. That's in a nutshell. And you received the grace of God. Grace give us victory over sin. Grace give us eternal encouragement and good hope. See, because of the grace of God, with all that's going on today in our country, the title of my lesson, that grace is sufficient. The grace of God is going to handle what's going on. The grace of God is going to take care of all of those that brought on opposition and tried to destroy and tried to change and manipulate and all of the lies and the pride. God's grace is sufficient to handle that as well. You see, God's grace, when we say that God's grace is sufficient, we know that grace is unmerited. And grace give us everything we don't deserve. And grace have a partner called mercy. And you see, mercy is what holds back the punishment we do deserve. Grace and mercy. God's grace, y'all, is sufficient. Whatever you need, God's got it. You see, when you were sick and you got well, that was God's grace. When you didn't have any money to feed yourself in some kind of way you got food, that's the same grace of God that did that for you. Come on, y'all. When you didn't know what your next move would be, because of your situation, but your situation got better, it's because of God's grace. And we often say over and over, God is working all things out together for our good. But I want you to know tonight, things are worked out together for your good by the grace of God. That's grace operating in our lives. The grace that God gave us, not just for the afterlife, to be saved, to go to eternal life, but the saving grace that he's using, protecting and guiding us and holding us and changing situations in our lives and protecting us from danger seen and unseen and taking us from here to there and letting us go to another level and let the things that we used to do, we don't do no more. And all it is grace. And God's grace is so amazing. God didn't just start allowing his grace to be with you after you accepted his son. Because the Bible said, while we were yet sinners, God allowed Christ to die for us. We wasn't looking for God. God came looking for us. Y'all know, if you want to tell the truth tonight, all of the time in your life when you wasn't thinking about God like you're doing now. You may not even know him like you know him now. You might not have understood. You might not have understand all that you understand. You might not have understood all that you understand now since your Christian journey. And look back how God was taking care of you. But that was his grace. And you see, for us to become a better person, we need God to help us. And God is helping us to be better by working on us from the inside out. It's called the sanctification process. But that process is being driven by God's grace and love for you. So we need to really understand the grace of God. And we can't understand how sufficient God's grace is until we know it. But I come to tell you that grace is actively and continually working in all our lives. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books in the Bible, said that his ministry did not on his own. Paul said the success of his ministry was not on his own, not by his power, but by the grace of God that is in him. God has instilled his grace in us to do all things through Christ, which strengthen us. See, it goes together, y'all, for so many privileges to us. So I guess I could just say that we should thank God for his amazing grace. You know, we thank God for different things, and when we learn different things, we should include it in our prayers, in our prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you, dear God, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, your loving kindness. Thank you, dear God. Thank you. And that's our background on grace tonight. And I'm going to start reading in the 12th chapter, the first verse all the way through the 7th. And the verse said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. This is Paul talking, y'all. And excuse, Paul had some visions and revelation that he had got from the Lord. And Paul said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. He said, but God knows. And really, y'all got to look at this. Paul is talking about himself. But he said, such and one caught up in the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but God knows. See, Paul had these spiritual visions, and he was shown many secrets that was not revealed in the Bible. And that's why Paul wrote 13 epistles, or letters as you call them, because he had received some of the secrets of the mysteries that was included in the Bible. You see, in verse 4, say, now he's caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Verse 5, of such and one will I glory, set yet of myself, I will not glory. He's saying such as one who received all of this knowledge and visions and revelations and secrets and the secret things of God. He said, of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbid. Let any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he heard of me. 7. And lest I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of the revelation. He said, don't let me get the big head because of all God had showed me. He said, unless I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me. He said, because so much was given to me, if I don't just stay focused, I could get the big head and be prideful and have my chest poked out like a peacock. But look what he said. That happened to him by God. He said, this is the part of the seventh verse. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffer me, lest I shall be exalted above measures. Paul is saying, I have to watch myself. You know how we have some people that think they have already arrived to the pinnacle of their spiritual lives? They're so spiritual. Some people, they say, are so spiritual till they know earthly good. So Paul said what happened, he believed, and he's saying it, that God put a thorn in his flesh. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffer me, lest I should be exalted over measures. Now, Paul said that's what happened to him, to keep him leveled. Come on, y'all. So the thorn in his side, it could have been an addiction. It could be the way he looked. It could be sickness. It could have, because the Bible don't say what the thorn was. But the point is, he had it. And, you know, usually when you have something that you can't get rid of, and it gives you the desire to be more lenient with other people. You know, it was like, get your balance. Yeah, you're all of this and you're all of that, but you got this. You know, like some people will criticize you for your fault. You know, that's all they could see is your fault. But sometime Paul said he received that thorn in his flesh to keep him balanced. And then verse 8 said, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Paul said, this thorn in my flesh, we don't know what it is. He said, I went to the Lord three times to take it away from me. And verse 9 said, and he said unto me, he went to God, he prayed. You know how they tell you whatever you got up? People with addictions, they tell you to keep praying and and you do all of this and you do all of that. And he was faithfully, you know, keep coming to God and doing all he can. Y'all know Paul was a praying man. You know Paul was a highly, praised man of God. You know, Paul was strong in the Lord. But he said his thing he had, he went to the Lord 3 times. And he asked the Lord that he might take it away from him. And verse 9 said, and Paul said, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And verse 10, therefore I will take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. Look what Paul said. And this is what we got to say in our lives. You know, sometimes life knocks you down. You know, you get these emergency calls and it's raveling in your mind. And if you're not careful, it'll make you weep. Some people have a loved one that died and, you know, they become angry and they can't operate and things like that. But Paul said, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul is saying because of God's grace. And he realized that grace, God's grace was sufficient. No matter what that thorn in his side was, he could still be all that he could be with the thorn because God's grace is sufficient. You see, Paul speaks about the thorn in his side. What the thorn was, I done said it before, we don't know. It could have been spiritual. It could have been physical. It could have been a form of temptation. Whatever it was, God had not removed it. So sometimes you praying for something and God to remove it. And it's not to say he'll never remove it, but he remove it when he get ready, because sometimes they're there for a purpose. And God is using it for his glory. You see, 3 times Paul appeared to God to remove the thorn. And 3 times the Lord said no. He prayed persistently and faithfully. He probably said, not my will, God, but your will. He learned that God's purpose would be better accomplished by the answer no. See, when we don't get what we want or get what we think we should, many times the no answer is for your good. The no answer for that time and that situation is the best for your good. You see, but the Lord speaks to him and said, my God, my grace is sufficient for thee. Jesus is saying it's not predicated on your strength. He said, but because of I have all strength and power and I'm giving you grace, whatever you're going through, whatever you need, whatever you want, he said, that grace that I extend towards you is sufficient. Do you believe in the night? There are things you might be asking for. Other things we are asking to be removed. Even some things we are asking for God to, you know, let happen to us, a more spiritual life, a more studying the Bible, more praying, you know, being nicer, you know, whatever it is we are asking God for, telling us that his grace is sufficient. God knows what would motivate us or stimulate us, but he's always arranging and arranging the matters in our lives to align up with his will, not your will. It is our job when we pray to let God know our feelings and things that we want and what we would hope for. But it has to line up with his will. You see, you might not understand the what's or the why, but if you trust that God knows best and realize that only God's grace is sufficient for you, and we should boast in nothing. Boasting is a big sin, y'all. Being prideful is a big sin. You know, that's what's happening in our nation tonight. People who want what they want. And then it's sad that they're doing it by any means necessary. And it's so unjust and it's so unfair. Because we saw a lot of protesting by Black Lives Matter. We saw our people being beaten, tear gas, rubber bullets, arrested. And they allowed these people to get up on the steps, bust through the doors, and take it over. And I'm sure they're going to might have some arrests, but what we saw, we didn't see nobody head getting beat in. We didn't see all of that. And it makes us, I guess we have feelings and emotions. And today I had to check myself because I was really upset. Because sometimes it seemed like enough is enough. But I thank God for his grace because I was able to go and pray. And I asked God to, you know, take the little feeling away because I know that's not of me and it's not of God. Because even no matter what they plan to do, God's grace is sufficient for his will. And God is a lover of us children. And his will is going to always include his grace for us to make it through. So as I had to do to myself today, y'all, I'm doing the same thing with you guys tonight. I'm just asking that you be encouraged. See, all of the faith and the Bible studies we have every Wednesday night, we growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, hold on to the confession of that faith. God didn't bring us this far to leave us. And every weapon that forms against us, the Bible tells us, is not going to prosper. God is telling us that battle that we saw on TV all day, it don't belong to us. God say, I got that. He said, now y'all been coming to me for months. You've been coming about the pandemic. You've been coming about the unfair president. You've been coming about whatever in your life. He said, didn't I bring you through? He said, isn't there a new president even though he don't want to get out? He said, if I got a new president in place, he said, you think I can't get him out the White House? I said, all right, Lord. He said, Senate still had the majority, and they was going to block everything that the Republicans had Senate, and they would block everything that the Democrat Congress would try to do for the people. You see, the Republicans don't care about people, and Democrats are known to be a little better. But God said, now didn't the day they had two seats that would never seem to be taken by Democratic? He said, let's anoint a black man. He said, didn't those two seats get filled by Democrats? They spent billions and, you know, millions and billions of dollars trying to hold on to their seat. And the lady that was running, they say she's the richest woman in Senate. But she didn't win. And not only did she not win, she lost to a black man in the state of Georgia. And y'all know Georgia is a prejudiced place. Well, there's prejudice all around the world. But you know what I mean. But he won. And it took a little bit, not a lot, but a little longer. And the other Democrat won. He said, y'all prayed to have the majority. Didn't I give it to you? He said, now tonight they're acting, the day they're acting crazy. He said, I want you to know my grace is sufficient. He said, just hold on to the confession of your faith. Stay as close as you can to God. He said, and I'll work it out. You see, and now I truly understand why Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you because Christ's grace is the vehicle by which he gives us whatever we need to get through when we have these trials and resistance and temptations to overcome obstacles in our lives over and over and over again that has the tendencies to make us weak. You know, Paul said, when I am weak, I am strong. Because you got to remember, because of God's grace, he gives us his power when we are poor. He gives us his riches. You see, and through his grace, he also gives us salvation, favor, loving kindness, mercy, and all the blessings we'll ever need. All the blessings we don't even deserve. God said, listen, don't worry about this and that. Don't sweat the small stuff. He said, just keep it moving in the right direction. Allowing my word to be your moral compass. Let it be your daily instruction for daily living. He said, you just do that. And I guarantee that my grace would be sufficient to carry you all the way on this side and straight into eternal life. And that's my program for tonight. At this time, we could have questions. Okay, caller, your number is 208-8807. Your mic is open.
Good night to you, Diane. Good night, everybody. I just wanted to say that I'm grateful for the constant reminder that God is in control of everything and that we're going to be okay and that we're not to be discouraged by what we see on television, what we may experience, or may witness our family or whatever going through. So I'm very appreciative of that, and thank you. It gives me encouragement.
Thank you, baby. Thank you so much. You just encouraged me. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace got us where we are today. Y'all look back over your life at all the trials and tribulation and setbacks and maybe sicknesses and maybe addictions that was in your life. And God took care of all of that. So he's not going to stop. God's grace don't change. It don't lessen. You're not getting the grace of God in amount, the measure of giving you because you're so good. It's because he's so good. So God's grace is for you. It's a free gift that He gave you. Grace is a gift. And when someone receives a gift, the person who gave it can't renege and want to take it back. That's why we could say once saved, always saved. God has given us the gift of grace. It's our job to understand it, rely, and trust it. And let it do the work that God has established it to do within us. Grace is the tool that starts our sanctification process, helping us to be better tomorrow than we are today. But we got to allow grace to do its perfect work. When you're feeling like, you know, it's not right, you're going to be down, just remember God's grace is sufficient. And when I say the word sufficient, I want you to know for anything and everything that come your way, depression, debt, sickness, financial problems, temptation, addiction, bad marriage, children not acting right. I could go on and on and on. But the point I'm trying to tell you tonight, God's grace is sufficient for anything and everything that can happen. But you got to trust it. Any more questions? Any comments? Well, if that's it for tonight, I'll do a benediction. This scripture, I done said it so many times. I say it so many times, many of you haven't memorized it. But look like it's taking on a new meaning for me tonight. The scripture is 2 Peter 3:18. And the scripture says, grow in grace. Wow. It says, grow in the grace that God has given you. Hallelujah. Peter told us that because he had them figured that out. He said, man, now this was Peter's last writing before he was crucified. Peter left, this is Peter's last writing. He said, grow in grace. And then he told us how to. He said, you're going to grow in the grace by the more knowledge you receive about God. Because you see, when you know more about God, you can trust him more. And when you trust him more, you can rely, you can rest in the grace. All right, you don't have to work for the grace. Come on now. You know, you accepted Christ, you got the grace, and you had grace before you accept Christ. Because God said he shine on the just as well as the unjust. And we know in our lives, before we got right with God and serious with God, God was taking care of us. So Peter's saying, look, that grace is there. He's saying, what I'm asking you to do right now is just grow in that grace that has been given to you. And he said, a way for you to is know more about God. Because, you see, you can't trust somebody you don't know. So the more you know about a person, the more you could trust the person. So he said, grow in the grace by the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, now, henceforth, and forevermore. So that's what I leave for you with you tonight. Grow in the grace of God by receiving the knowledge of God. And I guarantee you, because the word said it, everything is going to be all right. So be blessed, everyone. And whatever is going on in our nation and in the world, the pandemic and everything, Jesus' grace is sufficient. Jesus is telling us, I got this. And I'm going to believe him. And I'm going to trust him. And I suggest you do the same. So good night, everybody. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next Wednesday. I love each and every one of you. Be blessed. Good night.